This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Elon Musk joined President Trump in the Oval Office Tuesday and said his Department of Government Efficiency is carrying out the wishes of the people.
We are trying to sort of right-size the federal bureaucracy, just make sure that this obviously there needs to be a lot of people working for the federal government, but not as many as currently.
However, he offered little evidence of sweeping claims of waste and fraud. President Trump also said he always obeys a judge's order after some judges have blocked some of the administration initiatives. The Kremlin says a Russian citizen's been released from U.S. custody. That's one day after American Mark Fogel was freed. He was detained by Russia for 3.5 years. President Trump welcomed him to the White House last night. The war in Ukraine will be a topic for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. He's in Belgium meeting with the Ukraine Contact Group. Parts of Virginia got more than a foot of snow. There are 3 storm fronts in the U.S. Rain in Southern California a concern because of mudslide fears. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has co-authored a bill to help Wisconsin dairy farmers. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee have introduced the Dairy Business Innovation Act. It's designed to strengthen initiatives and help more producers and processors add value to their businesses. Baldwin says dairy producers in Wisconsin and across the country are facing challenges.
Throughout my time in Congress, I've worked hard to help them meet the challenges that they face. And look, right now, they face some pretty steep challenges. I hear from folks about how increased input costs are stretching their thin budgets and how lack of market access and workforce issues are all impacting folks' bottom line.
Baldwin says the dairy business initiatives have already helped hundreds of producers and processors improve.
To date, more than 250 farmers and processors in the Midwest have benefited from the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. One of my favorite parts of being a United States Senator is seeing how these small grants can help our dairy farmers take their businesses to new heights.
The new legislation would increase the program's annual funding from $20 million to $36 million. A companion to the bipartisan bill has been introduced in the House as well. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
It's uncertain what impact the federal freezes on spending would have on the proposed initiative. A winter storm system is set to affect the southern half of the state tomorrow. Here in La Crosse, we're expected to get a couple of inches of snow with greater impacts to our south and east. Temperatures for the next few nights will drop to around zero with wind chills in the negative teens. Another shot at snow is expected Friday night into Saturday. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and LaCrosseEagle.com.
Marquette gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles got a win at home, 68-58 over DePaul. Cam Jones, 19 points in the game, moved him to the number 3 all-time leading scorer in Marquette history. Stevie Mitchell was 17 for the Golden Eagles and 9 assists on what was the game plan for the first half.
We knew they were going to go zone because they did that last time, so we prepared a lot for that zone. And, you know, as the game went on, just sticking with what we were doing, I think in the first half we were driving it hard, but we were missing some shots. They have good players. They're contesting it. So I think we just were able to stick with what we were doing, even though the results necessarily weren't what we wanted in terms of finishing or making shots. And I just think that's just a testament to, you know, our trust in each other, our trust in, you know, our coaches, and, you know, our coaches trusting us.
Marquette is now off until next Tuesday when they host Seton Hall. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota, their last game heading into the All-Star break. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be a snowy day today. We could end up with around 2 to 4 inches of accumulation by the time everything winds down later this evening into the overnight hours tonight. Our high today, right around 14. Tonight, 2 below. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 11. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 4 above.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild returns discussing the gobs of money in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Also, the Wisconsin GOP wants state employees working in the office. Does that include legislators? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show. Right on.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father,
listen to those lyrics.
We don't need to escalate.
All right, all right. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And yes, Cardi, I am woke. I have on my woke hat this morning. And I'm styling it, man. How you doing?
Got to be woke, man. You got the early show, man, in the morning. You got to be woke.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's already a definition of woke, many of them in the dictionary, but it certainly doesn't represent the definition that's been changed to accommodate people.
I definitely agree.
Who don't understand the realities of what we're faced with. But it is Wednesday, and that means I am joined by the crew once again. I'm so honored and privileged to have Dr. Yana Lambrinidou and Paul Swartz of, co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and the deacon himself, Robert Miranda of Get the Lead Out Coalition. And I just want to say before we've got a very special guest, Dr. Christian Payne, who is representing families of a Milwaukee public school where some students have been poisoned and by lead. And, you know, what that is and what that leads to, she's going to be kind of leading the discussion this morning. Welcome, Dr. Payne. How are you?
Hey, thank you for having me.
We're honored to have you on board. But I just want to say before we get started, you know, we've been kind of watching for a while. And Robert, you know, going back to might have been the 70s or maybe the 80s, there was a constant conversation in the state of Wisconsin about lead paint, and led by a then state representative, Spencer Coggs, the state of Wisconsin made a commitment to abate lead paint, which was causing monumental damage to children, poor children in the city of Milwaukee. And this went back so far, and then there were, I don't know, Cardi, we've got some sound coming from somewhere. But it went back so far, and it caused so much pain to so many children. And somehow we thought that we were beyond that. But, Robert, you know, you and campaigned for lead-free water kind of rekindled those things. But anyway, the fact that we are here again in this country talking about children being poisoned by lead is absolutely unforgivable. It's shameful. And in whatever manner that they're being poisoned, it shouldn't happen in the wealthiest nation on earth. With that, Robert, we're going to turn it over to you, and then you can introduce your guest, our guest.
Thank you, Earl, and good morning to everyone, and good morning, Dr. Payne, Dr. Lambrini-Du, and Paul. Hope everybody's doing well. Today, we're going to address what's been going on here in Milwaukee regarding our public schools. Today, we're going to focus a little bit on what's going on with Golda Meir School. Dr. Payne will be giving us some insights as to what's been going on for the past month and a half, the work that the parents have been putting in to address this very serious concern. Give us a little rundown, a chronological rundown of things that took place, some of the insights that she has as far as exposing some of the inconsistencies and contradictions that have been made by both MPS and the Milwaukee Health Department. Basically, just to make sure that we're on the outside looking in, are getting the right information from the people who are most affected, and that is the MPS staff, teachers, parents, and children of Golda Meir. So with that, Dr. Payne, once again, welcome. Good morning, and thank you for being on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I guess I'll just give a brief timeline of kind of what led us to the point we're at now. From my perspective and my experience as a parent, and just want to clarify that I'm not an expert in this area. However, I am a parent, and I have a child that goes to this school.
That makes you an expert.
Well, and so therefore, I've been keeping very close watch on what's been occurring. So on January 13th, we parents were alerted at Golda Meir School in a joint email from the Milwaukee Health Department and MPS that there had been a case of lead poisoning that was tied to Golda Meir lower campus. And the lower campus is grades 3 through 5. And in that letter, they said that they suspected the source of the poisoning to be paint in the lower level bathroom. Following that letter, the staff at Golda Meir School, who have been amazing, by the way, who have been really trying to keep parents in the loop, and they've been as in the dark as we have been, held a meeting for parents the very next morning. So they offered an opportunity for parents to ask questions and to hear from the MPS facilities management supervisor, as well as that's Sean Kane, as well as Craig Wentworth, who is in environmental health and safety. And during that time, they talked to us about what was happening with the health department's inspections and told us what they had done to remediate the problems that had been identified in that lower level. I was asking questions about getting the actual results of that assessment, because until or unless a thorough assessment had been completed, I was not convinced that we knew the source of the lead poisoning. In fact, you can have multiple sources of lead poisoning, correct? So I wanted to make sure that we had that thorough assessment in hand. So I was making that ask. At that time, we were told that the Milwaukee Health Department hadn't given anything in writing to MPS at all. That was concerning to me, that there hadn't been anything put forth in writing. In addition to that, we were also told by environmental safety manager Craig Wentworth that the primary producer of lead-borne dust was not present at Golda Meir. Those are double-hung windows, and they were supposedly replaced in 1998. So there was kind of a lull from that point until then on February 6th when we received another email alerting us to the results of that Milwaukee Health Department assessment of Goldemeyer, in which there was actually alarming amounts of lead dust in the school, making all of the floors and the windowsills a health hazard, according to the health department. Certainly, this was even more alarming as we had been sort of assured that, you know, lead dust was likely not an issue in this school. I continued to press for the results of the water testing again, because if we know that there's dust and there's chipping paint, that could very well be the source of this poisoning. But until we had all of the information, I wasn't going to rest. We put together a petition this past Friday, trying to get parents on board to make that demand to get the full assessment from the Milwaukee Health Department, which they released yesterday. And that report suggests that there are also elevated lead levels in several sources of water at the school.
And with that, we had several press conferences that were held by the MPS facilities senior director and the Milwaukee Health Department's commissioner and deputy environmental commissioner. Can you go over those two press conferences?
Yes, I watched both of them yesterday, and I was struck by what continues to appear to me to be inconsistencies in the Milwaukee Health Department's messaging. One of the reporters at the press conference with the health department asked, is there any effort to shut down this school? And the response from the health department was that they were working with the city attorney to find out whether or not they had legal authority to do something like that. In that same conference, they tried to reassure parents that it was safe to send their kids to school. Now, why on earth would they be talking with the city attorney about shutting down the school potentially if it was safe? That to me is contradictory and echoes the same thing, the contradiction that to me is the thing. We have a health department continuing to tell us that this building and MPS schools are safe for our children to attend. At the same time, they're telling us that there's serious and immediate and long-term health factors going on with lead in our schools.
So guys, hold on a second. So Milwaukee Public Schools has a budget of $1.4 billion. So we're not talking about, you know, little sisters of the poor. It is safe to say that we can expect and should expect that those buildings are going to be up to standard, and we should shouldn't accept anything less where our children are going. And we should always make sure, you know, that they receive the best of treatment. And that's what's at the root of this. 855-752-4842. Once again, we are joined by the crew of Get the Lead Out. Dr. Lambrini-Due, Robert Moran of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, along with Paul Swartz, and Robert Miranda of FLAC. You can join us at 855-752-4842. And special guest Christian Payne. You can join us at 855-752-4842. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Community is more than where you live. It's the people in it who show up each day and help it thrive. During Black History Month and year-round, AARP recognizes the everyday excellence of those who give back to their Wisconsin communities. They believe when efforts drive change for the greater good, everyone thrives together. Connect and learn what AARP is doing locally and how they can make the communities better for all ages. Visit aarp.org/WI. Paid for by AARP.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. February 10th, the head of the Office of Government Ethics, a Senate-confirmed position, was fired by letter by President Donald Trump, likely illegally. In an even more questionable action the same day, the U.S. Department of Justice dropped federal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. As we reported last December, Mayor Adams was accused by the Biden DOJ of taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. January 17th, Adams traveled to meet with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And recently, Adams expressed a willingness to work with the administration on immigration, contrary to New York City's status as a sanctuary city. Now, DOJ has reversed course, citing a memo from Trump's AG restoring the integrity and credibility of the Department of Justice and Trump's executive order ending the weaponization of the federal government. Also on Monday, David Heitema, the director of the Office of Government Ethics, confirmed by the Senate in December for a 5-year term, was notified of his firing by Trump. The head of the Office of Special Counsel, Hampton Dellinger, fired by Trump February 7th, had his removal blocked by a federal judge on Monday. We've linked the DOJ's memo dropping charges against Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
800-329-4115. You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday, so the crew is back together again. The crew of Get the Lead Out. Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, along with Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du and Robert Miranda of FLAC, and special guest Ms. Christian Payne, who is a family member representing a situation that occurred in one of the Milwaukee public schools. Robert, you want to take it from there?
Sure. And again, Dr. Payne, once again, thank you for being on today to give us some insights as to what's going on over there. The parents last week, Friday, released a petition calling on the Milwaukee Public Schools and the Milwaukee Health Department to meet a number of demands because of the contradictions and confusion being created by the two institutions to get some clarity in regards to what really is going on over at Golden Meyer School. Can you give us some details about the petition?
Sure. Yeah. So it was started on Friday, as you said. And we were asking the Milwaukee Health Department to release to the public the full reports of those environmental assessments at all schools where there were lead-related concerns, because it's not just Golden Meyer, but also concerns at Cagle, and now it appears two other schools might be implicated as well, with two additional probable cases of lead poisoning through MPS schools. We asked that they release to the public the lead and water testing results that had been at the time described as pending. And so I want to commend the Milwaukee Health Department for following through on those two demands. Those were released, and they have made a commitment to releasing all environmental assessments conducted in MPS schools moving forward to the public. We asked that they release to the public the full set of recommendations made to MPS and a detailed plan for alerting MPS and the public about public health issues in our schools, since the communication was lagging at times when we called Golda Meir staff, after seeing press conferences and getting these letters, they were learning about it at the same time we were.
Let me just interject for a second. So Golda Meir, Cagle, and I think there was one other school. This is something clearly that is probably a problem within the entire district. And the fact that you parents organized and brought forth this pressure, in many instances, parents at other schools haven't done so. So isn't this something that should not be, Robert, something that's focused on these particular schools and something that should be broad-based? I'm not saying that your organization, Dr. Payne, should do that, but something that the district itself and the city itself should be pushing?
Exactly. It's reflective of what took place. I think you recall back in 2017 when the district did a district-wide testing of all the bubblers in the district and found huge amounts in some of the schools of lead in the water. That whole incident back then caused a district-wide effort to put filters in each of the schools. But today, we're finding that it looks like maintenance and policy regarding a continuation of monitoring may not have been followed. That has to be cleared up to see what exactly has been going on since that time in regards to keeping an eye and a watchful eye on these levels of lead rising in the water and in the schools. And Dr. Payne's group is on top of that over at Golda, talking about that. As a matter of fact, with the recent release of the environmental health assessment, there has been a little bit of eyebrow of concern raised. And Dr. Payne, you could probably go over this a little bit more in regards to what they found with the water.
So there's definitely concerns about the maintenance and prevention plan. I'll just talk about that for a minute. They have, MPS has a lead safety program that is lead paint safety program that is supposed to require yearly inspections of all facilities. And remember that 85% of MPS schools were built before 1980, and so likely are in that do have lead-based paint in them. It's a big concern. Why on earth were the facilities let to get into this state? And you'll even see in the health department's press conference that they're suggesting that there's no way that those yearly inspections were taking place as they should have been. The paint is so deteriorated that there's no way that was a functional program. And so we have questions not just about, as you all were saying, Golda Meir, but the entire inventory of MPS buildings, especially those that are in that older age range.
855-752-4842 is the number. My guest once again, Paul Schwartz, Dr. Yana Lambert-Nidu of Get the Lead Out, Campaign for Lead Free Water, Robert Miranda of Get the Lead Out Coalition, special guest Christian Payne, and you. 855-752-4842. We'll hear from Paul Schwartz and Dr. Yana Lambert-Nidu on the other side. 855-752-4842. On the Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on air.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The La Crosse mayoral primary is coming up on Tuesday with four candidates running for mayor: Chris Kahlo, Vicky Markison, Ellie McLoon, and Shondell Washington Spivey. Ellie McLoon, who works in real estate in the La Crosse area, says she'll bring a fresh perspective to the mayor's office.
I know based on the other people running for the mayor position, they've all been involved in either government or non-for-profit. So I think coming in with a new look on the operational aspect of the city of La Crosse and not being a politician will be something new for the city, and hopefully will benefit everyone as a whole to take an approach of, do we need this or do we want this?
We'll preview each mayoral candidate as well as the school board primary this week. The spring primary is on Tuesday, February 18th. To see your voter registration status, where to vote, or what's on your ballot, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. Governor Tony Evers was in La Crosse today to highlight the issues that Head Start programs across Wisconsin are having after the federal government froze spending. In his visit to La Crosse, Evers touted his proposed budget, which includes more than $500 million to support child care in Wisconsin. He also criticized the Trump administration for cutting off funding to Head Start programs. Last month, Wisconsin joined a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's freeze on federal aid. Several committees meet before the La Crosse City Council regular meeting tomorrow. Today, the City Housing Authority will review one of its projects and insurance policies, while the City Administrator Work Group will discuss public input into the proposed new position. Tomorrow, the Citizens with Disabilities Committee will hear updates on the city website as well as accessibility to La Crosse's municipal transit. The City Council will have a special meeting tomorrow before its regular meeting. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's a comedy to look forward to, starring a rock star duo of Bill Murray and Kristen Wiig. The two Saturday Night Live alums will headline the cast of Epiphany, which will be directed by Max Barbacow, who also directed Palm Springs. The plot sees Kristen Wiig as an heiress who has blown through her fortune and now has 2 weeks to marry a rich man or lose everything and end up homeless. She meets Murray's character, who is a math savant and billionaire. Really hoping there's no sex between the two leads in this film. As of February 14th, YouTube will be 20 years old. The social media platform, which started with people posting home movies and personal videos, has turned into a global phenomenon and a major studio that even makes feature films in 4K. According to Deadline, YouTube just reached another milestone. More people now use the TVs in their home when watching YouTube content than they do on their phones. Go figure. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a snowy day today. We could end up with around 2 to 4 inches of accumulation by the time everything winds down later this evening into the overnight hours tonight. Our high today, right around 14. Tonight, 2 below. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 11. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 4 above.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, legalities and illegalities of the first couple weeks of the Trump administration. Jim Santel will be here, and Dan Schaefer in hour number two to recombobulate. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Olson and I, and in hour number two, what's worse? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Olson and I, and in hour number two, what's worse? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Olson and I, and in hour number two, what's worse? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays. weekdays noon till 2.
Okay, so you're heartbroken. You sit around hoping, crying. You say you even thinking about dying? Well, before you do anything rash, dig this. Everybody plays the fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule. Listen, baby, it may be factual, may be cruel. I ain't lying. Everybody plays the fool.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means I'm joined once again by the crew of Get the Let Out. Robert Miranda of the Get the Let Out Coalition. Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du of Campaign for Lead Free Water. Hey, man, these cataracts are killing me. Getting old is no fun. You know what I mean? You wind up with cataracts. You're looking at something and you see nothing but fog. But I got to work on that. And Paul Swartz, who's also co-founder of Campaign for Lead Free Water, and our very special guest, Ms. Christian Payne. Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du, you hear this story. Your thoughts?
You know, I have a couple of thoughts, Earl. The one is that this problem clearly is not new at the schools. Imagine what has been happening now. Before, Dr. Payne talked about how the windows were replaced back in 1998, and filters have been put in the schools, but far more recently. So imagine what has been going on for generations of Milwaukee children before those windows had been replaced and before the filters were installed at the taps. The second thing I'd like to say is that what we are hearing from Dr. Payne is a pattern that is very common and has been prevalent in schools across the country for a couple of decades now. And that is that the problem exists, that parents and staff are oftentimes in the dark, that when there is a tip of the iceberg event, that the school community or the school administrations and the government usually either cover it up or try to minimize the problem. Here we have claiming that the source was identified right away without actually releasing solid proof for that. A report is released weeks later. The messaging right now is inconsistent and confusing. That is quite typical. On the other hand, the parents and the staff who themselves say, we are not experts. Yes, maybe they're not officially trained experts, but the thinking and the demands from that side is actually sounds much more aligned with scientific thinking and complex understanding of the issue than what sometimes we see from school communities and governments. The parents want a thorough examination of the problem. They understand that the issue in complex is complex in that there's potential of multiple sources of exposure for children, not just one. Parents want to see the full set of recommendations. They understand and they demand that other schools are looked at as well. Probably this is just a canary in a coal mine situation and not just one school having an isolated problem. So what we see again and again is that parental and staff involvement is critical on an ongoing basis so that school communities can move from a reactive mode and trying to cover things up or to minimize how the problem sounds to a proactive mode that includes parents on an ongoing basis and includes monitoring of paint and dust and soil and water on a regular basis.
Paul, you want to respond?
Yeah, so I just really am struck by Dr. Payne's pulling together a lot of knowledge, asking the right questions, and being a spark plug, one of the spark plugs in the community, in the school. And I think that never underestimate the power of one person to make change. I mean, in this time where we have all sorts of assaults on freedom of speech, basic rights, rollbacks, I think Dr. Payne's work in conjunction with others in the school and in the community is a beacon of hope and light that we should be holding up and amplifying like we're doing here on the show today, Earl. The thing that I want to say is that the $1.4 billion budget that NPS has really takes away the excuse that the maintenance and protocols shouldn't be followed. And I think our experience in Washington, D.C. at the local level with our D.C. public schools and working with other community leaders around the country is that when the gaze of the citizenry is diverted, often a party goes on in the dark, and the NPS, the Milwaukee Health Department, others stop doing what they're supposed to be doing. I hope that there's transparency on what all of the work has been or hasn't been and what all the data is. And I think that it's really, really important for us to require oversight and for residents and parents to be at the center of oversight, not just in the moment, but over time. Transparency is a really critical feature, and we need to build in more mechanisms for that transparency to happen in ways that the public can attach themselves to that data and information.
You know, Robert, this appears to be in just listening to Dr. Payne and watching how the media is responding. I mean, just pop, 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 pop. This is not going away, is it?
No, it can't go away, and it shouldn't go away. I think that there are some accountability issues that must be met. There is transparency issues that must be fully met. There are questions that need answers, and the parents are spot on in seeking all this. I think that what it also does is it reminds us that without vigilance, without our involvement in what's happening in these public institutions and around us, those forces that we think are trusting enough to run things properly and do the things that are needed in order to ensure safety and stability in our schools and in our community, we leave it up to them to do it. In this case, we see a breakdown, and that has to be repaired. And the way we repair it is exactly how the parents at Golden Meir are putting it out there in their petition. So we want to see some of these protocols established and reintroduced and put back together.
So we go back, before we go back to Dr. Payne, Dr. Lambertini, is it safe to say that this is not just germane to NPS in the city of Milwaukee, in rural areas, wherever these facilities are that haven't been updated, haven't been taken care of? The same thing is probably prevalent in rural schools as well. And what should people do in those areas to maybe, you know, create what Dr. Payne and others are creating?
Yes, absolutely, Earl. This is a problem that affects school communities all across the nation. It is by no means unique to Milwaukee. And parents really need to know, especially Dr. Payne was talking earlier about how the majority of schools in Milwaukee were built before, I believe, 1980. That means that there are, without any doubt, that there is lead-bearing plumbing in those buildings. Even if they don't have a lead service line, they for sure have other lead-bearing plumbing materials. And so this should concern parents in all schools, all school districts. And what parents can do in the short term is provide safe water if the schools have not already installed filters, is to provide safe water to their children from home. And if schools have taken the important step of installing filters or providing lead-free water in some other way, then it's so important that parents work with school administrations to figure out what precautionary measures can be adopted and how parents can stay involved. And as Paul Schwartz was saying earlier, how they can be at the center of both implementation and oversight.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, and maybe Dr. Payne can amplify this, to talk about the results of the water testing. We don't really know the sampling protocol yet and whether it hews to best practices, but there were some, you know, alarming numbers, especially given that the American Academy of Pediatrics has set the threshold for water in schools at one part per billion. And maybe Dr. Payne, if you could just say a little bit about the data that we do have and what that portends for water as either an additive or primary or sole source in some cases. Thank you.
Yeah, there definitely were instances of elevated lead in the water from the report. You know, many of those were kind of put into the category of less than 1.0 parts per billion, but there were many that were elevated quite high. I can tell you that during the press conference yesterday, Mr. Kane suggested that many of those that were elevated were like in bathrooms for hand washing, sinks or slop sinks. And the comment that was flippant, in my opinion, was that, well, children should just not be drinking out of those sources of water. And we know as parents, children's behavior can be unpredictable. And even if they're told not to do something right, they might do it. And so I don't think that's a reasonable conclusion to come to. He had stated that they have signage that says for hand washing only. That's not a deterrent. Those need to be filtered.
Yep. 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday, so that means the crew of Get the Lead Out is on board. We have a very special guest, Dr. Christian Payne, who is a parent at Golda Meir School. And, you know, Dr. Lambrinetti Du, Paul Schwartz, co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Robert Miranda, Get the Lead Out Coalition. We'll return on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
If loneliness surrounds you and rain clouds always hang around you, and waking up each day gets you down, and if the life that you're seems hollow, then maybe what you're needing is someone to turn your world around.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And so the gang is back together. Hey, hey, the gang's all here. And so, Robert, you can take it out, man.
Great. Errol, as you know, we are a group that is focused on the issue of water. And it is concerning what we saw in the report with the testing of the water. One of the things I wanted to ask Dr. Payne, I didn't notice, but did we get water testing protocols from the health department?
Not as far as I know.
Okay, so we should ask for that. That's something that definitely is important for us to get, because it'd be interesting to see the protocols that they used to get to those levels. Again, you know, when you look at the water issue, you see that, 30% of the report shows that there has been levels of lead in the water. And there has been increases in certain areas. The kitchen lead levels particularly are troubling, very concerning. And even though there's lead showing, again, the NPS needs to provide, I think you've asked for this, reports on their maintenance of the filters, because it's very important for us to get that kind of information as to how well they've been maintaining the bubblers. And because, again, even though those lead levels, they want to dismiss them as being low, that's still lead in the water, and it's still harmful. What is the next step that the group or the parents are looking to move on, Dr. Peng?
Well, I was able to put together an email address for folks who are interested in working on this campaign together. So that is leadsafeschoolsmke@gmail.com. And I think we're really hoping to build a nice organization full of parents and community members who want to keep an eye on this and hold people accountable and get the improvements that we need. Yesterday, we did end up putting out an update to the petition in which we asked for some additional things. And one of those things was to complete water testing at MPS wide, the whole entire school district, so that we can have an update from the 2016 levels. And we do need to see what the protocols are for maintaining those. As we've seen in the case of the paint, the protocols they had in place weren't followed. So we need evidence that the filtration has been maintained and updated as well.
So just so people can kind of wrap their arms, Milwaukee Public Schools is 156 schools. And I saw you, Paul, giving a thumbs up about the process that they're following. You say what?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's really important that there be transparency and that the parents' demands for Golda Meir and for across the Milwaukee School District are responded to, both by the Milwaukee Department of Health and by MPS and by the political leadership in Milwaukee. The aldermans, the mayor, really need to get out of reactive mode and circle your wagon mode and into thinking about health as the primary concern and preventing this exposure.
Dr. Lambertini, do?
Yeah, one thing that's really important for everybody to know is that lead in drinking water tends to release erratically and variably, so that when we test the tap one time, if we don't find any lead, I mean, unless this tap has a filter, and then hopefully the filter is well maintained, and you would expect not to find lead then pretty much any time you test. But if a tap does not have a filter, or if the filter is not properly maintained, then a one-time test is just a snapshot of what's going on, what levels of lead are coming out of that tap. And that's really important to know, is that any single tap could be tested and show no lead at all. But then a minute later, it could have lead in the tens or hundreds or thousands of parts per billion. And so it's important to know that whatever testing is done just gives everybody just a snapshot of the problem.
So guys, we have to leave it there. Thank you very much, Dr. Christine Payne. We'll have you back, and all of you of Get the Lead Out. Up next should be the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. And
you're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome 24 actor Glenn Morshauer. And joining the show all the way from Sweden, our favorite musical duo, 7,000 Apart. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth in Belgium and telling the Ukraine Defense Contact Group the war between Russia and Ukraine must end, and when a peace is negotiated,
we want, like you, a sovereign and prosperous Ukraine. But we must start by recognizing that returning to Ukraine's pre-2014 borders is an unrealistic objective.
Today, President Trump meets with Narendra Modi, the leader of India. One question is whether the president will hit India with the tariffs he's imposed on other countries. A disappointing January inflation report. Consumer prices 3% higher than a year ago. They were up half a percentage point from December's number. NOAA's Storm Prediction Center says there's an increased risk of tornadoes across the South later today. The highest threat in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, including cities like Hattiesburg and Montgomery. This is ABC News.